the former finance minister, Mr. P. Chidambaram. Mr. Chidambaram, thank you very much for joining us. If the government does not intervene, now by way of reducing taxes, there could be a possibility of petrol and diesel prices crossing even 130, 135. Do you think that the government must intervene? Or why is the government not intervening?
Intervention by whom? The government is most greedy. It is the government that should intervene and bring down the prices. And the way to do it is quite straightforward. It is to reduce the central taxes and then persuade the states to reduce the taxes. But the central government increases the taxes practically every day or every other day because it's the greediest government I've come across. It relies on a single source of revenue to sustain its expenditure. It is collecting today 33 rupees a litre on petrol and 32 rupees a litre on diesel, which is extortion.
Okay. Mr. Chidambaram, the government's argument is that this is a crucial way of funding the welfare schemes, particularly in a COVID scenario, a sort of a bitter pill.
You have options. If you don't know what the options are, I think you should consult tax economists and other economists to know the other sources of revenue. There are other taxes which can be modulated to increase the revenue. But you surely can't squeeze a regressive tax. Please remember, taxes on petrol and diesel are regressive taxes. If a rich man buys a litre of petrol and a poor man buys a litre of petrol, they pay the same tax. It is a regressive tax. You should increase progressive taxes.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Chidambaram, many representatives who defend the government's position say that there are hardly any alternatives. Would you suggest some?
Of course there are alternatives. How did we run the government for 10 years? We didn't increase the taxes on petrol and diesel to such astronomical heights. How do other countries run their governments? Government must rationalize expenditure and find the revenues to meet that expenditure through progressive taxes. I'm not going to suggest to the government what taxes it can impose, because then they will say the opposition wants taxes to be imposed. I'm saying the broad philosophy is regressive taxes must be kept low and progressive taxes must be increased.
Okay, now you talk about progressive taxes. Now the government has made many appeals that there is talk of petrol and diesel being brought under the GST, a proposal from the government, which was completely dumped by many state governments, including many state governments headed by the Congress party. So do you think that the challenge is not just with the center, but also with states?
No, I don't think the central government proposed inclusion of fuel in the GST to reduce taxes. I think they wanted to take control over taxes on petrol and diesel. Please remember the way the GST council is operating today, the opposition parties are outnumbered. Opposition party governments are completely outnumbered. Their suggestions have been given short shrift. A team of officials have usurped the powers of the GST Council. And all this is set out in the Punjab Finance Minister, Mr. Manpreet Badal's letter, and in the Tamil Nadu Finance Minister's letter. Please see those letters. Having reduced the opposition party governments to a virtual cipher in the GST Council, if the central government wants to bring more items under the GST, obviously, the opposition party governments will oppose it. But believe me, even the ruling party state governments opposed it, because they also privately tell us that their autonomy of taxation is completely taken away.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chidambaram, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I heard the word extortion in an earlier part of this interview. Why would you call the increase in petrol and diesel prices by way of taxes extortion?
Because look at the proportion which the OMC gets, which the central government gets, and which the state government gets. Today, in a price of, say, 102 rupees, the OMC gets 42 rupees. That includes crude oil, processing of crude oil into petrol and diesel. Central government gets 33 rupees. For doing what? Nothing. It adds no value. It just imposes a tax and collects it. The state government gets 24 rupees and the dealers, etc., get 4 rupees. 33 rupees in a price of 102 is 33%. One third of the price of petrol that the consumer pays is a tax to the central government. 33% taxation on any commodity is, in my view, extortion. If you come to diesel, it is 32% of the final price. Actually, it's a little more than 32%, 32 rupees, but it is almost 34%. It's extortion.
Mm. Mm. Mr. Chidambaram, now, since you have leveled an allegation, there is an allegation against the UPA as well, that the burden on this government is by way of oil bonds, which was a legacy from the UPA rule.
Complete rubbish. Financial illiteracy. I have pointed it out before that whether the government borrows or its surrogate borrows, a government-owned oil company borrows, it's the same. Because ultimately, the government assumes a liability to pay both the interest and the principal amount. So all that we did was leverage the balance sheet of the oil marketing companies to raise some money with a clear stipulation that the interest will be borne by the government and the principal will be repaid by the government. So it makes no difference at all whether the government borrows or the surrogate oil marketing company borrows. Besides, the numbers are out. The annual liability is only the interest liability. The bullet payment comes at the end. Those numbers, I don't have it right at the moment with me, but I had it some time ago. The numbers show that the amount that they have to pay as interest every year is a fraction of the total interest payment of the government of India. This is complete financial illiteracy, okay, which is the most charitable explanation. Hmm. The other one is malicious propaganda.
Okay. Mr. Chidambaram, how would you respond to the Global Hunger Index, where India's ranking is now lower than many other developing countries in the neighborhood? Some of the experts say that what is contributing to this hunger index is actually skewed planning and heavy taxation. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. We cautioned the government 2 years ago. When the pandemic broke out, we cautioned the government. If jobs are lost, incomes are lost. If incomes are lost, people do not have enough money to spend on food. At the same time, there is the disease itself which debilitates the human body. And people have to spend more on medicines, preventive as well as curative. Therefore, we pleaded that there should be direct cash transfers to the bottom of the pyramid, namely the bottom 20% or 15% or 25%. We also pleaded that free rations must be given in a larger degree, larger amounts to a larger proportion of the people. Mm. Now, both suggestions were turned down, very, very contemptuously turned down. As a result of that, this is an expected outcome, that there is more hunger, more malnutrition, more stunting, more wasting among our children than they should have been. This is the direct result of the government's callousness in not making direct cash transfers and not giving more free rations to more people.
Hmm. Mr. Chidambaram, my final question, and this I've been meaning to ask. Whatever you seem to be saying right now, or we are discussing, seems to be very divorced from the way the markets respond. The BSE Sensex, for instance, is at 61,000 plus, and also looking at, you know, a booming scenario in the future. Many people are very bullish, as they say. Now, this does not match with what you seem to be saying or suggesting. Why?
They are. And I learned this lesson very early in my tenure as a finance minister. The market is reflecting the health of 100 companies and the health of the investors. It does not reflect the health of the economy in the sense that 99% of the people of India are nothing to do with this market boom. Therefore, don't sell it. While we should be happy that the stock market is doing well because it has other upsides, don't celebrate it as a mark of the nation's economy's health. They have nothing to do with each other. Therefore, let's look at indices which point to the health of the nation's economy, health of the people. The hunger index is one such index. The decline in the per capita income is another index. The consumption on food is another index. The prices of vegetable and fruit is another index. Those are the indices which should be looked into to see whether people have enough food and people are in good health. The unemployment index is another index. Please look at that. Look at the CMIE data, because there's no other data. The government does not put out the periodic labor survey. Look at those indices which point to the health of the 100% of the people, not only of 100 companies of India.
All right, Mr. Chidambaram, thank you very much for joining us.